because I don't like, you know, you kind of deal with people based on how they handle adversity.
It's been 2.5 years, and I still look like a bad.
Everybody gonna do what's right when the situation right.
Because they're not.
You got adversity. Well, you see people's true colors.
Hey, what you bring? Heavy conversations, debates, and relationships. We the topic of discussion. What's the gossip? Who she loving? This tea get hotter when you touch it. Forget about that he say and that she say. Tell me what the street say. Got them tuned in, they running back just like a DJ. What you bring to the table?
Reality, reality.
What you bring to the table?
Reality.
What you bring to the table?
Welcome back to the Reality Table with your host, Big Lex, my boy, Mr. Josh Powell, two-time champ, and Mr. Kwame Brown, number one draft pick. We want to welcome our special guest, Ms. Sadia. Tell them a little bit about yourself, Sadia.
What's up? My name is Sadia, also known as Simply Tone. I have been a business owner for the last 8 years, celebrity trainer, and yeah.
Okay. And we gotta welcome the legend, man. We are truly honored to have you too, Sadia, but also, you know, to properly introduce him, Mr. Inky Johnson, just kind of wanted to say before I let you, you know, you don't have to introduce yourself, but we're going to let you introduce yourself. But, what? You know, he's obviously, you know, the number one motivational speaker out here. And, you know,
and
the
reason why you dress like that.
Yeah. Truly, truly, truly blessed for you even to accept this invitation, man. Nah. Truly honored to have you here.
Nah, it's an honor, man. I want to thank you, Josh, Kwame, Sadia. Man, it's an honor to be on. I respect it. I admire it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
So I guess we're going to start off. I mean, we're just going to dive in it right now. Like, Sadia, asking you first, what made you get into personal training?
Well, that's a good question. So I have a track background. So I ran track at Georgia Southern.
They can beat me at running?
Anybody can beat
you. I can beat, honestly.
I'll just,
yeah.
I just wanted to know.
Respectfully, you know, I could beat everybody in here.
Dang.
But
damn, you need that. I mean,
you don't know about Big Lex.
I don't know if you can beat me when I was in my prime. Now I don't know. Now maybe now, yes. But my prime, I don't know.
I got it.
About. I want to see that.
Damn.
That's the next show.
Yes.
Y'all racing?
Okay.
I ain't shit now. But,
but so yeah, I ran track for many years, and then in college, after you know running for some time, I realized that I needed to transition into you know the real world, a job. And so I knew health was a really big part of, you know, my journey. And so I decided to explore personal training. It's really because so many people asked me if I was doing it at the time. So I never really saw that for myself. And one thing I knew for sure is that I was really good at business. So fitness just so happened to be like an easy pivot to get into like entrepreneurship and stuff. And the last decade, I've been able to like diversify my portfolio. So fitness was just like an easy avenue. I was really good at it. I already had the athletic background, and then I just threw in the marketing piece, the social media, you know, the making money part, all of that.
I will say that I was talking to someone today, and I was telling them that, you know, we all up here are former athletes, but, you know, we always say we could do it. Oh, man, I ain't paying no trainer. Like, man, I teach myself, but I really had to grasp that.
That was just you, Big Legs. I mean,
I'm just saying, after I was retired. But I'm saying I really had to grasp that you're not paying the trainer to train you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're paying the trainer to keep you accountable
right.
of when you don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of just registered probably 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole time, I'm like, man, I'll pay somebody, but then half the time I won't show up.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll call me, hey, where? What we doing? Like, you
yeah.
know, you just pay me this break. You just gonna give me some free money?
Right.
But that's what the part that you hold someone accountable, because when you know you're paying your own money,
mm-hmm.
instead of you just, hey, I'm gonna go with my homeboy to the gym, you're gonna start showing up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I actually have a trainer too. Like, it just holds me accountable. And like, when you don't have your health, like if your health is taken away from you, like nothing else matters. So like, it's another way of just making sure that you're investing in yourself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you trying at?
So actually, everybody comes to me. So I'm in Buckhead, and okay, I'm tired. I'm gonna put in my years. So I'm in Buckhead, right by Lenox and Phipps.
Yeah, because I'm out of shape.
What? You know, it's in y'all. Y'all still work out?
He says what?
I said it's in y'all.
Yeah, I got to start back. I'm working out after the Super Bowl.
Yes, okay. He said after the Super Bowl.
For real, after the Super Bowl, I quit drinking for 30 days, and I get back in shape.
So you going to do basketball? What you going to do?
I don't know. I might let Josh push me around in the gym a little bit.
Yeah.
On the next level, man. So, Ink, like, you know, with everything that you have going on, you know, the lives that you continue to touch. Mm-hmm. What do you do for you?
Yeah.
You know, how do you stay inspired when you pour into so many people, including your wife, including your kids?
Yeah.
You know, I know family is beyond important. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but with this gift that you have, you know, how do you keep your battery charged?
Man, you know, it's crazy, man, because like, I never gave myself the title of motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I never once called myself that. It was a label that the world just attached to me. And on Instagram, the only reason my name is Inky Johnson Motivate, because a cat stole my Instagram name when I was in Nebraska when I first started my account. But I feel inspired by my children, man. I feel inspired by people. Like, I was talking to Lex. One of the first questions I asked him when we sat down, like, man, tell me about the basketball journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm inspired by people's stories, people's journey. Like, my mentor loved Kwame. Every time I talk to him, he mama's cooking. Every time I talk to him, you know what I'm saying? Like, you, me and you, like, our daughters cheer for the same organization. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to her earlier, man, about track. Like, I'm inspired by people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like everybody has something to offer. Everybody can teach you. That's how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't raised on the materialistic and superficial.
Right.
I was raised on being grounded and being a good person and treating everybody with respect. And so, naturally, how I operate, like, people inspire me. You know what I'm saying? Just navigating life, encountering people. But more than anything, my children, my wife, my three little sisters, you know, outside of the stage. Like, the stage is the career, and that's cool. But everyday life, man, like, I was raised, bro, try to treat people right, learn from people. And I just feel like everybody has something to offer,
mm-hmm.
right? And oftentimes, we look at people in certain positions and think because of the position or the title, they may have more to offer than this person. But I was raised, everybody can offer you something, regardless of condition, regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation. You know what I'm saying? So people inspire me, bro.
Absolutely. Yeah. And outside of that, like, when it comes to character, because that's important too.
No question.
How do you decipher with whom is in your circle versus who's not, considering the fact that you're still able to get so much and be inspired by so many people?
Man, it's a constant process. Like, Josh, like, because, like, you know, and I'm in my late 30s, but, like, when you're young, like, you gung-ho, you look at situations, it is what it is, you deal with people based upon how you deal with people in certain encounters, you cut people off.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said to a cat 2 days ago, I said, man, one of the greatest decisions I ever made in my life was forgiving my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? One of the greatest decisions I ever made, right? But it took a lot of work to get to that point, right? But doing that, I understood, like, I had certain feelings toward a man. My mom had me at 16, inner city Atlanta, grew up 2-bedroom home, 14 people. My father wasn't present early in my life.
Mm.
He started coming back around, trying to patch it up. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, I resented him. Because of the condition, situation, what have you, right? Because at night, I used to want to talk to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I had questions, right, that me and my cousins chop it up. We sleep on the floor. It's all good. But I wanted to ask him certain things. And so when I would get up the next day, I'm like, damn, man, I couldn't even holler at Pops about it.
Mm-hmm.
When probably I could have.
Right.
If I would have went to somebody like, hey, Grandma, you can call my daddy real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mom. My mom probably would have called him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I had feelings toward him that when I got to a certain point of forgiveness, it made me look at myself as a man in terms of, bro, like, just navigating with grace. Because you always have a thought process of people, what they dealing with, what they going through, how they dealing with you. And oftentimes when we deal with people based upon our encounter with them.
Yep.
We never think about what they may be dealing with.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when we're dealing with a person, we got an interaction, we're thinking about our encounter. You're not thinking about the other side, like, man, what if they just lost their mother? Mm. What if their children is sick?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't know my father had just lost his mom when he was a teenager, and my mom had me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until me and him had a dialogue.
Yep.
I just thought, out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
But when we talk, man, to get to your point, man, it just makes me navigate with grace. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I ain't got time to be holding nothing against nobody, bro. I ain't no judge. I ain't God. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I go to my children, I'm trying to have my spirit in a place to where I can navigate as a decent father, go to my wife, trying to navigate as a decent husband, just trying to be a good dude, bro. That's it.
That's
and flaws and all. I'm an error in that, have error in that. It's all good, man. Like my eighth grade math teacher told me one day, and he the cat that love him, you know what I'm saying? Mama's, he love him, bro. But he told me, bro. Like, he was like, some days, because he said somebody told him this, some days you're going to be less than your best.
Mm. Yep.
And that's all good, too.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But when you deal with people, sometimes think about what they may be dealing with and not just the encounter that you have with that individual, you know?
Now, I got a question. I want to appreciate Lex and Josh or whoever set this up, because I didn't know who you were.
Yes, sir.
And I had to be honest. And so I had to do my own research. I asked Lex. But I'm like, nah, that's not her responsibility. And I got to dap you up. Like, when you speak, I can tell you mean what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. Where does that conviction come from? Because usually when someone speak like you speak, it comes from some sort of trauma.
Yeah,
like, the way I speak, people always say, you act like you know everything. You act like you know what you're talking about. It's like, nah, I've been in so many different situations that the average people won't be honest about what they've seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just an athlete. I grew up in the hood. So it's things that you see and things that you experience too early.
Absolutely.
So through that trauma, you know, you become more mature. You see things in a different way. So
absolutely.
If you will, can you explain what got you to the point to be the way that you are and speak with so much conviction?
Yeah, man, I experienced a lot at a young age. Like, I always tell people, I never got spoken to like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I never had that period in my life to where the Google guy, like, that wasn't. When I was like 9, 10, they used to talk to me like I was a grown man.
Yep.
Because I was seeing, like, grown man stuff in my household. Like, I remember a police coming. Like, my grandfather didn't have any legs. He was in a wheelchair. And him and my uncles, they used to be trapping, selling, everything illegal on the face of the planet. And I remember when the police kicking our door, grabbed my grandfather out of his wheelchair, slam him on his chest. You know what I'm saying? They putting everybody on the couch. They grabbing dope. He used to have these socks over his little nubs. They snatched the socks, all dope falling out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm seeing this because they got all the kids sitting on the couch. They got people laid on the floor and they talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I remember the day that they came in and they said, man, if we come back to this house again, I'm going to lock your wife up. I'm going to lock your children up, and y'all going to be locked up for a long time, right? And right after that, I had to walk to the bus stop with my three little cousins. Mm-hmm. We out there, we shaking our book bag out, make sure it ain't no roaches, rats. And, like, I knew they were watching me, and I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I got to try to do something to, like, interrupt the cycle in our lineage. Because it wasn't that they were bad people. Like, my uncle just got out of prison, one of the best people I know. Mm-hmm. It was just decisions and choices based upon the condition that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I would do, Kwame, just being real, man, like, when a cat would be, like, speaking to me and telling me something about life, conditions, situation, I would listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I knew where I wasn't where I wanted to be, but I didn't have the information at the time to get to where I wanted to be.
Right.
And my mom, I'm so thankful and grateful for her, man. She used to work a double shift at Wendy's from the time I was a kid until I went to college. And whenever she couldn't do something for me, like put me on a team, a program, she'll always put me around somebody that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so with a coach or something, I remember a coach took me and my little cousins across town and he was showing us a little neighborhood. Like, look, Ink, everybody don't live like that, right? Because you think everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Our stories are so
crazy,
similar. That's
man.
Why I was like, when I heard him speaking, I'm like, it's something. I gotta ask
you. Crazy, man.
And but you helped me with that. I appreciate that.
It changed, man. I appreciate you, man.
This is a simple thing for me, but this for everybody sitting. Why do y'all feel, and it's super simple again, but I think it's an important question, but why do y'all feel people struggle with listening? Mm.
I'm sorry, that was really good. So you said, why do we feel like people struggle with listening? Honestly, I feel like people aren't present. I feel like people are so caught up into things that are going on in their life that they don't ever get the time to really just sit still and, you know, think to themselves and think about what they want. I feel like situations and life circumstances pull you in different, you know, areas that people are in survivor mode. They're listening to voices in their head of people that have put it in there. They're not listening to themselves. They're not like centered. It's just kind of like just operating through the world.
I'm sorry, Lex.
I think that depending on who you're dealing with, I think, you know, I can give you two answers. People are selfish, you know, and people only care about like kind of to what you're saying, what they're going through. I think when it's for me, when I don't listen, it's not that I don't necessarily listen, but I'm so passionate about whatever I'm trying to get off. Mm-hmm. Like I'm more like, let me get it off, and then I'll listen to you. And then I'll let you listen to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but that just proves your point.
That proves my point. People are selfish, but I think for me personally, I'm misunderstood. I'm 37, no kids, retired basketball player. Like guys, people might think I like girls because I'm a, you know, and I hate that. Just because I play ball, it's always like, you probably like girls. Because the perception of women's basketball has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been like this before. You know what I'm saying? I have no issues with, you know, most of my friends are, you know, they like women or whatever. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, I think people just are people, and the people I've personally encountered and dealt with, when they don't listen, I think it's whatever they got going on, whatever space they in. And we're in the Mecca, we're in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just worried about them. Me personally, if you hear me vocalize something to you, or if I blow you up, if I text you, I'm just passionate about how I feel. And when I feel passionate, that brought me from basketball. Like, I grew that passion from sports. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to play basketball. I was better in track, but I wanted to play. I'm passionate about it. Mm-hmm. So if I feel strongly about something, I'm gonna speak up about it, regardless if you like it or not, but to answer your question like, I just think it's whatever someone's going through at the time.
Mm.
You know, and you can't, and I think we need to start having more grace for people because you really don't even know what they're going through. Mm. You don't know if they lost someone yesterday. You don't know if something happened. You don't know if they lost their job. When I started actually trying to listen what people were saying, I would take a step back, listen to what they say, okay. And then make a determination. I think I, for a long time, had a hard time with accepting what people were saying. Because people could tell you a lot, but they don't mean they mean it. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. But I'm big now on
I like
actions.
That last part you just
said.
Yeah,
actions prove. I think you can tell me whatever you want to tell me, no different than a man or a woman telling you what you want to hear, right? But until you show that action that back up what you're saying, I'm learning this year that I don't believe none of that until you back it up with your action.
Well, I think it's the insecurities of hearing the truth. Mm-hmm. And so once I shared that, I started living my life not trying to be perfect. It's mm-hmm. easier that way.
Yeah, we know.
Just accept that you're not mm-hmm. perfect. Accept that you're gonna make mistakes. And once I shared that insecurity of hearing the truth, then it don't matter what you say because it gives me an opportunity to rectify the situation. Nobody's mad at somebody that say, okay, you right. That might be what it is, but let's talk about it. Instead of always being on guard, over-talking, overthinking the situation.
People, yeah, it's hard for people to say you're right.
Yeah. If you're right, I'll give it to you. But I think.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It depends on what we're talking about.
You got cats in here? Is it cats in here?
A week later, but in the moment, you.
But you're going to eventually get it.
No offense, Lex, a cat.
It just depends on the situation. I don't know.
Black cat.
Right. I'm tired of y'all doing me like this.
I don't know, Lex. You may need to evaluate that one. I'm sorry.
What you think?
I think. You know, we listen with the intent to reply, not the intent to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we want to drive home a point. And I'll never forget, man, my wife was talking to me one day. We got a little conflict, a little confrontation. We pitching and catching. And she's saying stuff, but I'm so busy thinking about my reply. I'm trying to win, you know what I'm saying? Right. I'm a competitor. I'm trying to win the argument. You know what I'm saying? I ain't picking up nothing she put down. Right? And I'll never forget, she stopped me. She was like, you heard what I just said? And I go to talk, and she was like, you ain't hear what I said, did you? I was like, damn, I didn't hear it. You know what I'm saying? Because I was so focused on my reply. Mm-hmm. And also with my kids, man, missing certain things that they would be saying, you know, with the thought process that they're kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so trying to dial in, man, because I believe when you become a good listener, it makes you a better communicator.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And so just trying to be intentional with being present and listening when somebody is talking, you know?
Sometimes everyone's always trying to protect their ego, so it's hard to listen to the truth because, you know, everyone has...
I ain't do nothing.
Yeah, the version of like...
That be me, I'm telling you.
Uh-oh.
Right. Loud and big Lex, okay?
Big Lex. Fast.
Hold on. Josh ain't answer. Answer your own question.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
I think for me, my perspective, I feel like a lot of it's judgment.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people feel like, especially now, today, a lot of people feel like they have the answers. But then I would base that off of the actions.
Mm.
And if it ain't matching, then what are we doing? You know what I mean? But, you know, I know times have changed. I know we all grew up in an era and were raised a certain way. I just think it's so interesting that nobody's willing to listen. And then it's like the other part of even if you feel like they might be listening, then it comes with, I got to see it.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like the judgment or... I got to see what's going on before, you know, it might take two or three times before they might get it.
Yeah. What about this? This is where they lose me. When they say, let me finish.
That's me.
And then you let them go for 3 minutes. Then you say two words, and then they're talking again. That's when I get up and go.
Double back.
Yeah, I ain't trying to hit it then. I got to go.
So I got a question for everybody. Is it more powerful to be a student or a teacher?
Depend on who you're talking to.
I feel like student.
Yeah, the student learning what the teacher knows, so he's going to be eventually, you know, they can keep learning from other people, too, so they might be, I think, the student.
Yeah, I think the student.
What you mad at me for, that?
Mama Cookie saying what everybody want to hear.
Right, she's like, you know, we need to
tell the truth. Tell the truth, Mama's Cookie.
No, that's what I think.
Okay.
I apologize, Big Lex.
Because even with what he said, like, you can have a conversation with someone and you can know that they're right, but because you're trying to protect your ego, you won't even validate the fact that they're right. You know?
I think I'd be validating these folks.
You're delusional.
I think I'd be validating.
No, your version of how you think people interpret you and what be going on is not the same.
Nah.
But Lex, that's what I'm saying. You
perception.
But your response to what they're saying, you're not going to validate them in that moment.
I got a question for everybody. That's perception.
Mic drop.
I got a question.
So you know what I just said was right, but you said.
Yeah. I can't agree. I plead the fifth.
You should have been a lawyer.
Maybe. That's what they say. That's what they say.
That's what they said?
That's what they be telling me.
You just like to argue.
I'm an athlete, bro. Even if I don't
blame it on an athlete.
I compete.
But you can't beat nobody on the couch and running.
You stupid. I definitely can beat. I think I can beat all y'all in my prime, you know?
We ain't talking about in your prime.
Yeah, I can't do nothing right now. You know what I mean? Oh. I just talk. But my question is this.
I just talk.
I got a question for everybody here. So, look, I'm going to give you a scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're all older now, right? And you expect certain things from certain people, even though you don't necessarily say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You expect your mom to act this way. You expect your dad to act this way. You expect your friends to act this way. My question to everyone on this couch is, let's say whatever you're dealing with, right? And your issue is support. Like, support can mean anything. It can mean present. It can mean check in. It can mean I'm proud of you. Words of affirmation, whatever you want to call it, right? Is it wrong to feel like, you know, you're not feeling that you're being supported if you see one of your close friends supporting other people? Mm-hmm. And you vocalize this, you know, a million times, and it's the same thing that happens. So I'm asking this question because is it perception? Like, of course I'm going to feel the way I feel, you know? But I'm also trying to get the other end of it, like based off what, you know, that person might be saying. Does that make sense of what I'm trying to say?
I actually was just in a scenario like that. And I was the person that they were saying that they didn't feel supported by. Like, they felt like I was able to show up for other people in a certain way, but they weren't getting that support. Mm-hmm. But the honest assessment that I had to make was that I had compartmentalized that friendship. So what that person was asking for me, I didn't personally feel like I could give it to them, you know? And I wanted the acceptance of not having to fill a shoe that I didn't feel like was natural for me. You know, it doesn't mean that I can't like improve in certain areas, but what the scenario was is, so I do consulting, you know, for businesses. And so when it's like business to business, it's so easy for me to brainstorm ideas. It's easy for me to scale. It's even easy for me to pitch that. So like, it's natural. But when it comes to my personal life and my friendships, it's deassociated. You know, like I'm just myself. So that person wanted, you know, some like strategy and ideas in a space, but my mind literally doesn't like, because they're my friend, I couldn't see myself wearing my business cape, you know? And so they're like, you know, you give all these ideas to all these people. And, you know, I have my birthday and I want all these ideas and stuff. But I told them, I said, I think I'm the wrong person that you're asking, you know, like I've put you in a box and that's what I'm comfortable with. And for me personally, I just didn't want to be challenged in that way. So sometimes I think it's acceptance. Like we have to like accept that certain people can support us the way we need to be supported. And then some people can't because they may not have the ability to.
But let's say they do.
But you see what I'm saying? I feel like you should take people as they are. And that's what it should be. Like, I feel like it's all about alignment. So if you're having to ask and pull something from someone, you're misaligned in some way.
Mm-mm. But the question is, if you've seen them do that for other people, and this is your day one, and listen, mm-hmm. we're not talking about somebody that's not capable of doing this. We're talking about somebody, like, let's just be for real. We're talking about somebody that's over capable of doing this.
I see friendships as A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. And I keep them in A, B, C, D. So A is like my day ones. I could talk about anything. Like I can ask.
Your ratchet anything. Friend.
Yes. Like we locked in for life. Like A friends are 20 year friendships, all that. Mm-hmm. B friends are like associates. We could do business. We could do a little personal, but I'm not going to call you in a crisis, you know? And then there's like C friends where it's like, okay, maybe it's social media people. Like, we know. And it's like, that's just how I group them. So you may have, so what you're saying right now with the support.
Talk about D.
Huh?
Can we all want to skip D?
T.
I'm interested to hear D.
D is one is real mixy. It's like, okay.
No, that was the thing.
I didn't even know it was this many categories. This is crazy.
So what tier is Lexi? I want to know. What tier is Lexi? She got to be a C or a D.
I think I'm A, B, C, D.
No, that's a good one. But like D is like by association. Like, you know, people you take a little photo with. Like, you know, like y'all may have like mutual friends.
So I'm D right now.
Y'all definitely D.
Okay.
But the point is that even it, like obviously I broke it down that way, but people mentally do that. You know what I'm saying? So like.
I did not know that.
Yeah, people mentally do that. So like a friend that you
my
think.
My C friend.
It's about to prove my point, but yeah. Keep going.
But like people do that. So this friend that you say is your day one, that's your A, truly they see you as B. So what you're asking from them, they don't, you said it. You see them doing it with everyone else, but they're not doing it with you. And that's because they have mentally compartmentalized you in a space. Now, it may not sound like A, B, C, D, mm-hmm. but the actions that they're showing you is B.
Okay.
And I feel like It's okay to accept that.
No, no, yeah, I'm with the acceptance.
Because this is the thing. I think you should get into alignment with people who see you as A. Mm-hmm. So if you want something from someone that they can't give you, there are other people that can give you that same support. You're just asking the wrong person.
No, I'm agreeing with you, but it's about to get to my point.
Yeah.
Kwame, what's your answer?
No, I like her answer.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of, when she broke it down and took it out of ABC and I stopped joking, I understood what she was saying.
What do you?
Because I got some friends I trust with certain things that other ones I wouldn't.
I'm agreeing with you on it, but it goes back to my initial question.
Mm-hmm.
I got your answer. Mm-hmm. The question is, if whoever your day one is, who's capable
of... Wait, but you keep saying, you may be...
No.
You may be your day one.
No, but... no. Hear me what I'm saying.
She got on Gucci hush.
Let her land her plane.
Let me try to land it.
Yeah.
This person, if whoever you're dealing with, your friend, is saying, this is my day one, and you're both saying the same thing.
Uh-huh.
The question I have, the person who feels underappreciated or see you doing it with other people... and you don't do it with them, is it wrong for that person to vocalize and, hey, look, I've already accepted what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I don't need you to keep telling me that's not what it is, because I made a point earlier, your actions speak louder than words. You do it for other people. And I'm definitely overcapable of doing anything when it comes to business, whatever, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
The question I guess I'm asking is, is it wrong to
vocalize it?
I got you now.
No, it's not wrong to vocalize it, but you got to accept it.
Yeah. No, I've been accepted it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, but now when I've accepted it and I've moved a certain way,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? The question is, are you wrong? Am I wrong? But I know I'm not wrong, but... No. I know I'm not wrong, because you move how somebody treats you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you move how you feel some way, right?
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, when I've accepted something and I started moving to, you know, I'm big on energy.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm not a needy friend. So I don't like needy friends.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing from you. I don't need nothing from you. Whatever we link up on, that's what I'm probably going to keep it on. And, the needy friends, usually when somebody vocalizes something, it's because they want something from you.
Mm.
And I'm at the age where I'm not willing to, I don't want you to be a burden on me.
Mm,
and so I got kids, I'm in a different space in life. And so if you vocalize something in a way that I can't just say, hey, that's not where I'm at, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and you be okay with it. Because I'm a firm believer, if you want to find out who your real friends are, just tell them no.
Mm.
And you're going to find out real quick you don't got a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm. What you think?
The want part is important.
It's a fact. You just finna pick up on it?
Yeah, I feel that same way. When somebody wants something too much, whether it's like in business and friendship, it puts too much strain on the relationship. You know, like they need you for whatever.
I'm going to block.
You going to block?
Block.
I think what I'm saying is, depending on what need is. Need, you don't have to ask for nothing. You're not asking, when I say ask for nothing, you're not asking for money. You're not asking for someone to do something that they're not already doing, it could just mean showing up.
Which is emotional support.
Hold on. But it could mean showing up.
Something.
Emotional support and giving therapy.
I don't know. I guess we think differently, because I think that if I'm aligned with you and I consider you a friend, a day one, I'm going to support you. Now, what support looks like could be different for who the person is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got to accept people for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, if support for you is me showing up, just showing up, I'm going to show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
If support for you is, hey, I just need you to check up. Now, I got friends don't even live here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk to them, it's like we just picked up yesterday. And I ain't talked to them
I'm
in 4 years.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is, I feel like you can't say... or run around saying your day ones and this, but your actual day ones, you don't do it for. You do it for people who are your D friends.
Yeah.
So,
but some people feel more comfortable doing that for D friends.
Yeah.
But that's to me.
But also, and then your reference is what I, like, you keep saying, like, what I would do.
Nah, for sure.
People, people don't got that same depth.
A lot of my day ones got me arrested, so I had to get some new day ones. That's overrated. Day ones, they keep you in the same place. You got to elevate, get some day twos.
The day twos is the better.
Yeah, get some day twos.
The day twos are better.
They look at you different. Day ones, they keep you in the box. They remind you when you ain't had no money, when your drawers was dirty. You don't want no day ones sometimes.
Day ones
is entitled. It depends on what day one looked like for you. It's perception, but what you think?
You know you don't fault some of your day ones.
Like physically?
How would she fight?
Nah, arguing is another way to
fight. You argue with everybody.
Mm? I mean, that's neither here or there, but, you know.
I would love to hear your answer, bro.
Oh, man, I think expectation, bro. Like, wherever there's expectation, comparison is soon to follow. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you got expectations for people, it's like you just said, like, when I say comparison is soon to follow, comparison the thief of joy. When you got expectation, you're going to start comparing. Well, you did that for them. You did that for them based upon your expectation. You know what I'm saying? So now you're comparing what they did for other people, and you may not even know the situation or the circumstance. You know what I'm saying? And so I always say, man, I don't go into nothing with any level of expect. I ain't expecting nothing of nobody.
Exactly.
Like, do what you do it, and I appreciate it. But also, like, a father called me one day. He was like, man, talk to my son, man. Like, they ain't playing him. They ain't giving him no playing time. So Kwame, I'm like, all right, bet. Let me holler at him. He's like, all right, cool. So I say to him, Josh, I say, I could be real with him. Like, I could talk to him. He's like, yeah, you could talk to him. So I get on the phone with the young cat. He started talking. He telling me how nice he is, how bad he is. I'm like, bet, I hear you. I said, if you that nice, make him play you. Like, if you that dope, make him play you. Like, if you skill like that, make him play you, right? And I feel like in terms of support, like, if you that nice with whatever you pushing or putting down, make them support you. Like, it's that dope to where they like, I gotta. Because a lot of times we feel like because of the relationship, who we know, who we been with, they should just support us. When if we be real about it, like, don't owe us that.
No, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I just think that when you don't get it from the person, okay, so let me just put it into perspective. If I don't do, if I don't show up or do something, I'm the worst person in the world. But then when I show up, okay, you know, I'm going to show up. That's what I do anyway. But when I don't show up, it's like World War III. But then I'm like, well, hold on. I'm like, practice.
Right. She's about to get, to get you.
Wait. But I'm going, let me reel it back. But my thing is this. Wait. The point I'm making is you don't owe nobody nothing. Let's be clear.
Okay.
But I'm big on practice what you preach. So I'm going off of practice what you preach. Not that you owe me something, not that I do this for you, nothing like that. My thing is if I don't show up for you, it's World War III.
Is that personal? Is you saying
No. I'm just making a point. Let me take a step back. So it's cool for it's cool when you do it. It's a problem when I do it.
Wait, yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's when I really started listening to the song.
Right. But listen, like, so
picking it up.
I feel like so what you just broke down when you said, I always show up for this person, but then when I don't show up, you know, it's a problem. But I feel like the problem was because you always showed up. But it's like, and you wanted to show up because you wanted to show up, right? But people are used to patterns. It's just a normal thing. So it's like, if you have a pattern for always showing up and then you don't show up, you're changing what people's expectations are.
Not if it's not out of 10, bro. If it's 9 out of 10, it's a call.
So this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. You got to answer the question.
We're going to put a package together. We're going to give you a hug. We're going to put a therapy session in order. Because it definitely hits deep. I don't have nothing to follow up with. You know what I'm saying? I know who. But I understand, like, what everybody's saying up here. But as I was listening, I couldn't help but think, like, because I had so many questions, you know, I wanted to ask everybody is, like, we're all in a different place in our life right now. And obviously compared to how we were even 2 years ago, and as healthy as we are, right, even sitting on this couch right now, what are still some of the things that y'all struggle with today? One or two things. I'll start. The thing that comes to mind in my spirit is just like forgiving myself. Real heavy on myself for things that I've done or don't do. You know, one of the things that I tell my wife or tell my kids is like, I'm gonna disappoint somebody every day. And as a man, I got to live with that. And that's been, I understand it, but it still can be hard at times. because you make a decision, even though you know it's the best decision, but somebody's still gonna feel some type of way. Mm-hmm. And you wanting to, and I'm not a people pleaser, but I just want the people that's around me to feel the love, mm-hmm. to sure. feel yeah. that they're cared for, that they're covered or protected and all of that. And it's like, I'm still trying to figure that piece out. And I'm not saying that they may not even be for me to figure out. Mm. But that is one of my toughest battles mm-hmm. as a man. You know what I'm saying? As a human being, like, it's very hard considering all the growth. And I still got more room to grow. You know what I'm saying? But I wanted to ask y'all that because there's a wealth of knowledge on this seat right here. You know what I mean? And I really enjoy listening to the conversation, how everybody's articulating, how everybody's, you know, listening and really showing what healthy communication is looking like. But I'm just like, man, I wonder, like, people still struggling.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I can piggyback off that. I struggle with that too, but it's starting to turn around. You know, that was one of the hardest things I dealt with, losing my kids, but that's turning around. But two of the things I struggle with now is not going so far and giving so much negative energy to people who I feel like wrong me. You know, coming from where I come from, I was trained that if you do something to me, I do it twice back to you. And so I'm trying to learn how to not do that. And that's one of the hardest things. And then I still struggle with temptation from women. I mean, I'm a big guy. Women seem to like me. It's kind of hard. It's a struggle when I'm out with the biggest guy in the room. And it's a little bit weird at times.
What is the need to want to stand on that, though? Not the women part, because I'm understanding on that struggle, too. But that need to, like, when you address me, I got to feel like I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got to address that.
Yeah, like, I was taught more for so long that disrespect get met with disrespect. And you had to, like, it's my older brother's fault. You know what I mean? To be honest, I was trained as a kid to be racist. I didn't like white people when I was a kid. Because all the stories that I heard was negative about them. They stole our land. I'm from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, we Geechee. And so the main thing you're going to hear from the Gullah Geechee is that their land was stolen. Mm-hmm. And so I was trained to be racist. It wasn't until I was regentrified and sent to another school that I saw actions from white people that made me say, you know what, they ain't all that bad. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not afraid to say that. Like, I grew up like that. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a way in a household that was rough. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, if it was some disrespect presented, then it was some consequences for that. So I'm trying to train myself out of that.
That's good. I think mine would be boundaries, you know? Like, having boundaries on my time, having boundaries on my energy, like, you know, boundaries on my money. Just, like, knowing just my limits and not overextending myself and just putting myself first.
Mm. Oh, Lord. Somebody got a snicker.
I think my issue, or that I have an issue with dealing with, is sometimes just believing everything I hear. Mm. Or being green to accepting whatever is going on, you know? That's first step, right? And I think that because I'm so passionate, no matter what I'm doing, whether it be talking on the phone, selling ads, or playing ball, or friendships, or relationships, like, I know me, you know? And when I'm passionate, I get a certain way, like...
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool, I'm laid back, but if it's something that really just hit home, I'm a lawyer, as you would say. I'm a lawyer, because I'm a prove what I believe to be true. But I'm starting to learn, and when I say I'm starting to learn, I'm really learning this, like, currently. Like, I'm in the zone this year. I know people had these New Year's resolutions. I don't really believe in that too much. But I'm on something that I feel like, for me this year, it's just align with who aligns with you.
Right.
Like, I used to be the person I always have to, why they do it? Like, even still sometimes I catch myself, why they had to do that, boom, 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 instead of just accepting, like, look, these folk don't fool with you like that, or this is what it is. You know what I mean? So it's more so now me of taking
Would
the...
Would you say you're a people pleaser, though?
Always. Okay. For sure, I know I am. I try to accommodate for everybody.
Okay.
And I think me being just a point guard is what did that. I wanted to, you know, be the general of everything. Mm-hmm. Wanted to be in charge of everything. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
So it's like, now it's like, ball is over, it's been over. Take a step back, and you just got to accept whatever's going on.
Right.
Even, and I have a problem with dealing with that part because it's hard for me. It's hard for me because I'm passionate about it. And then eventually, you know, I'm hurt about it. Like, dang, this is really what it is, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, even relationships, like, my last situation, like, dang, thought he really cared. This wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if you've known him for 10, 15, 20 years, like, this ain't the one. You know, because if this was the one, I wouldn't be feeling the way I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my biggest two things I would say is acceptance and just being green. Like, it just, it's all in the same lane. Like, I give so much. And I not saying I want so much, but I wear my heart on my sleeve with everything I do. Friendships, relationships, business, whatever. So I care so much, and I'm starting to learn I'm not supposed to care so much. But, I mean, I can't control that. My parents raised me to be a genuine person. So, you know, I never try to get something from somebody unless it's beneficial for everybody, you know? Mm. Like, I don't look for myself to be the one in the front. Like, if we can be a team, I'm a team player. That's the best way to put it. Like, I would rather be on the basketball team than to run an individual track meet. I've always been built like that.
He's just saying that because you're scared to race her. Don't try to trick her. Don't try to trick her.
I can't win with y'all, too. But I don't know what y'all got going on
today. You're scared to race. That's all
it is. Hey, on you. Nah, but I was like when Kwame said, meet disrespect with disrespect. Like, that's how I was raised. Like, I was telling Lex, she had asked me about a question like, who was your favorite coach? And I was like, my high school coach, because my man used to challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And he came my senior year. But I was raised in a household, and I know how it is. Like, when me and my cousins used to leave, like, they used to tell us straight up, man, like, if one of y'all fight, all of y'all better fight or y'all better not come back in this house, talking about you watching and you commentate. Like, if it go down, all of y'all better be involved. And one day, one of my little cousins came to get me, and I'm sitting in my coach's office talking to him, trying to go to school. Because nobody in my family had been to college. I'm trying to go to school. My little cousin come run in the office. They tell me he about to fight. And I'm having a full-on conversation about my future. And without thinking, I jump up, finna run to the fight. And my coach is like, man, sit down. He's like, excuse my language. Like, man, let him get his ass beat. He was like, because you're going to blow. He said, one day it's going to cost you. Mm. Like, doing that, one day it's going to cost you. And I say that to say, like, learning to discern where people are speaking to you from, right? Because we were raised with these principles, these thought processes, these things of how to operate and navigate life, but I was raised in a totally different condition and environment from my children. And so I say that to say one of my biggest struggles is just communicating with my children with the environment and the world that they are living in, right? And I've made a lot of mistakes in that because they ain't coming up like I came up.
Mm-hmm.
Conditions, environments are different, right? And so where I'm speaking to them from, it's a constant test. Like, my little man, the other day, I see him come home after practice with his cleats. He go outside at night. He's standing on the porch. He knocking the dirt off. Like, all right, ain't okay. I watch him for about 5 seconds, and I walk off. Next morning, I'm walking to the door with the dog. I see red dirt all over the floor, right? Come here. Well, why that dirt? You know what I'm saying? And before long, elevated tone, you know what I'm saying? And we take it there, and it changes his disposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the encounter, I'm like, bro, you could have handled that way different. Mm-hmm. Like, you failed in that moment as a father. I should have said to him, hey, young blood, I saw you last night, man. You went outside, you dust your cleats off. Cool. Next time, bro, just make sure you check and wipe this little red dirt up. But now, because of that encounter, now I got to go back and do work to try to patch it up, to make sure if I get that opportunity next time, to handle it. But I was raised a certain way, and so constantly trying to better communicate, man, is one of the things I fell at every week, bro, that I'm trying to get better at, you know, as a father.
That's powerful. You still stuck?
Mm-hmm. Still. stuck?
Like, the mentality.
Oh, definitely.
That's
in certain situations, definitely. Yeah.
Does something, something trigger that, or is it just a natural response to whatever?
No. I think it's just like ego, man. Like, most of the time in the world, when we hear the word ego, we look at it with the undercurrent of something negative, right? When a cat told me one day, like, locate your ego. Like, try to locate it. Like, when you're in situations and you feel that ego coming, try to locate it. Because sometimes the world with young people, the world will tell you what you're not capable of. The world will tell you what you can't do. The world will tell you because of a skin color. Like, all of that. We know that. We know that game. And so it's not that it's always a bad thing, but sometimes you got to be willing to locate it based upon situation, circumstance, and what may be at hand. Right? And so with me, definitely, situations flare up all the time. Because my personality, I'm laid back, I'm chill, but I'm a wolf, bro. Like, I come from the jungle, bro. Like, the jungle. Right? And so sometimes I'm in situations to where cat think it's sweet. And, like, you know, you got to locate that ego, you got to pipe down, and you got to think about, like, man, like, it ain't even about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even that deep. Most of the stuff I was raised on to be like, it's that it ain't even that deep, bro. Yeah. Like, you had cats killing cats over stepping on their shoes at one point. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, it ain't that deep.
Have y'all ever, like, because I know you got kids, too.
Let me piggyback off something he said, because he said ego, and that was interesting. That was cool. That was a different way to hear it. For me, it's the insecurity. The insecurity of losing, insecurity of failing, it'll turn me into a monster. And so I'm insecure about going broke. They say athletes go broke 5 years after being playing. So I'm insecure about that. So I think about it all the time. So I go get a pile of money. I'm always talking to that young lady about investing. I'm always talking to the people around me when it comes to anything. Like, it's the insecurity that drives me, you know, that thinking about somebody in a fight. I heard Mike Tyson say this too. He was insecure about losing. He'd think about the guy every night. He'd go to sleep thinking about him, wake up thinking about him, because that's who you're about to duel with. And I think in life, sometimes that insecurity can fuel you to do great things. If you use that energy, you're going to, everybody always talking about they ain't scared of nothing. Mm-hmm. That's BS. I'm scared of everything. And that fear is what drives me to do great things.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Would y'all still be who y'all are without the success?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be who I was without the trauma, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think that trauma made me into who I am. That's why I believe everything happened for a reason. Mm. That's why I could tell it was some trauma. Just hearing some of the things that he said and the way that he goes about saying it, I identified it right away.
Sure.
Yeah, sir. It's some motivational speakers. They go to college. They go a different route, and they speak differently. And all the guys that come from a base of trauma, it hit different. Mm-hmm. For me, it does.
I will say, for me, I think with people, you gotta. I'm big on. I guess you could say everything happened for a reason. I mean, whatever trauma you went through, God only gives that to his biggest soldiers, you know what I'm saying? So I know for me, when I was personally even going through what I was going through last year, that's when I would run across you all the time. I would save everything. I would rewatch it. Like, whatever I was going through is crazy. Whatever I was going through, you would post something about this. Like, I remember the one that you posted recently was, "You ain't that good. You ain't that good." I was like, man, I'm at work. Like, hold up.
Yeah.
Let me rewind it. Hold on. Iggy said, "You ain't that good."
Basically, you got big legs.
Nah, but it was just, it, like, when you think about it, everybody up here plays some type of sport, right? Mm-hmm. Football, basketball, track, volleyball, whatever the case may be. And back then, when I played ball, I would listen to Pastor Troy or whoever would amp me up to run 100 or whoever I could listen to a Trillville and basketball, whatever was hyping me up. So my new thing that I've been doing maybe the last 3 years, maybe more so 4 years, before I pick up a phone, because I'm in sales,
before I pick up a phone, I go find a motivational quote, a speaker or somebody. I was big on Eric Thomas. Like, that was who I had at the time when I was still playing. And then Inky Johnson come. Inky Johnson come. I'm like, at work, hold on, let me see what Inky done posted. Let me get my dad, let me get my coffee in. What Inky said today. And whatever Inky said, I promise you, sometimes I ain't even got to type it in. Like, it's something that'll come up on my timeline. And I was like, things happen for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's why I said I'm blessed and even honored that you even accepted to come here, because for me, this is greatness for me, you know, and I'm big on, I posted something the other day, like, I want to leave my trademark when I do go.
You definitely dress for the occasion, though. You look nice. Hopefully next week you'll
be trying next. That Gucci sponsorship. Yeah.
Don't do this one time now.
I want to leave my trademark in, like I was, and Josh probably know me the best up here, you know, and then you second. And I think that when it comes to me, period, I hate when y'all do that. But no, when I say they know me the best, like, meaning he knows me, so I was going through something.
You second, okay.
Yeah, so I was going.
Okay,
I was going through something tough last week. And
you like be?
Listen, when I was going through it tough last week, when I tell you, he probably never seen me like what I went through last week. And it was on his birthday. He called me. He was like, Lex, hey, man, I felt something from you today. Pull up at me. We're going to celebrate my birthday at the Waffle House. I like, you lying. I like, you lying.
Come on,
hey,
come
I'm
on,
like, you lying. And he was like,
hey,
he sent me the address.
Y'all better go in the daytime.
Right. So I'm like, this boy is joking. He sent me the address. I pull up. Oh, we celebrating the birthday at the Waffle House. He was like, Lex, I felt the, I felt what you're going through. I'm here for you. But the fact that he did that on his birthday, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to do that, but he felt the energy. You know, he felt that I went right. And typically he checks in on me in the morning. Hey, he just say, hey, how's your mental?
That's good.
You know, and that's why I always tell people, like, this is one of my best friends.
And you got Waffle House. I miss the Waffle House. I stopped eating pork. I don't eat pork no more. I don't even feel black no more.
He don't eat me.
The Waffle House ain't no more fights. Ain't no more nothing.
He don't eat me.
I kind of lost the black experience.
He don't eat me either.
You don't eat, so you just eat the pancakes?
Waffles, man. This ain't
uh-huh. I don't feel black. I've been going to International House of Pancakes. Okay.
That's crazy. But I guess, like I said, just to answer your question, like, it's just about, like I said, everybody, like you said, has their season or their time, whatever they're going through. And for me, personally, I think everybody played a role up here when I was going through some type of season. And Inky, for me, everything I go through working-wise, when it comes to just business, and when I say business, I mean, like, I'm on the phones every day. I sell advertisement for golf courses. I don't want to call nobody. I don't even want to hear what they about to tell me. Like, I don't want it or whatever the case may be. I'm like, hold on, man. I need to get inspired and not to hoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, but your words is so passionate. And it's like, whatever it is, it's just like, man, I'm appreciative for it.
You can tell you believe what he's saying.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a really good question. I feel like she said, would you be who you are without the success? And my answer is, personally for me, no, because I will be a product of my environment. So I come from a very traumatic background. In high school, I had to get adopted. You know, I had to work my way into, literally, we got evicted on the day of the graduation test. So I had to go live with a whole nother family. And it was equally as traumatic. So it's like I grew up in the hood, you know, with roaches, in the projects. And then in a switch, I'm with Caucasians, you know, in a big house. And that was just as traumatic because you're taking somebody out of their environment into a whole nother environment. So I wouldn't be who I am without the success, because the success was the light. Like, I would have been a product of my environment. I would have, you know, not went to college. I wouldn't have made the sacrifices that I made to get here if it wasn't the light at the end of the tunnel.
No, that was good. I don't, Big Lex, I think on this week, man, we might skip out on these.
We might
skip out. But hold on. Because I want to be able to, in good fashion, man, because Ink, we going to spare you, because I'm Queen, Queen, we going to spare both of y'all, because there's some sauce in here. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to say, like, no, I do want to say, like, your story, you know what I'm saying, being able to build with you over the past hour, truly beautiful and amazing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And look forward to just continuing to learn and continuing to build, you know what I'm saying? And you got a brother in me. Taking the opportunity, Ink, love you, brother. And I know, you know, a lot about your story, man, your family, your kids, and everything else. And as much as you do for people, just want to tell you, man, to make sure, you know, you continue to strive and do the things that you're doing, because so many of us are watching, you know, and that's a part of your gift and your purpose. Appreciate you know what you. I'm saying? Like, your chapter one sets you up for your chapter two, and your chapter two is beyond amazing. Appreciate you know what I'm saying? And I know it's just humbling to hear that even somebody like yourself, which I think is important for people to hear, like, I still mess up. I still make mistakes. I still go through things. Because so many people feel like they got it figured out.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And then Kwame, like, I've been wanting to say this to you. Because we grew up together, dog. Straight up. Because we grew up together, you know, and I had a front seat to a lot of things up until you went pro, and then I caught up, you know, afterwards. But I just appreciate you as a man, dog, because of what you stand on.
Question.
And no matter what's going on, bro, and I remember you talk, you know, and I know that's a part of your stance. I know a lot of things, you know, because we grew up the same way, the same teachings and disrespect and all of that. But I just think it's cool, and people should appreciate seeing a man be a man.
Definitely.
And we don't see a man being a man as much anymore. And that doesn't mean that that man has to come with perfection or that they got it all together. Yeah. A man just being a man who's standing on his. Yeah, what you represent, your family, you're like, look, man, y'all can say what y'all want, but I done made a lot of money. I done changed a lot of people's lives. Mm-hmm. I came from what I came from, and I have a great mind on my shoulders. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you gained the traction because of how you was bucking against people. So they didn't get a chance to really appreciate you.
Yeah,
I got a chance to see that, and I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Because I was chasing you. Yeah. You feel me? Like, we know where we come from, bro. Yeah. And I want to take the opportunity because I feel like you don't hear that as much. At least I feel like you don't hear that as much. I see a lot of this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From what I see. But I got the chance to, obviously, I grew up with you, I know you, and I wanted to take the opportunity, bro, to give you your flowers.
Respect.
You know what I'm saying?
Respect. So,
and that's crazy, because it seemed like being a man, just being a man, they try to label you certain things. You're either violent, you're either misogynistic, or you're toxic. Mm. All of the things you call on when you're in trouble. If you are in trouble, you go to hope the man is violent, toxic, whatever these labels are, because I don't believe in these labels. I'm not violent. I'm not toxic. I can be made to be violent because every man should be able to be dangerous and violent. But at the same time, I'm one of the most peaceful dudes that you're going to run into. Josh will tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't do nothing but sit back and conversate and kick it. But other than that, I'm laughing with Lex and just chilling. And that's how you're supposed to be. So we got to embrace. Masculine is it's the new movement for y'all ladies. It's what protects y'all women. Masculinity protects women. It's not this thing that you guys should be looking at as a bad thing and calling toxic.
Right.
Even though we make mistakes, it's still not, to me, not toxic.
Absolutely, man. That's beautiful. Let's go ahead and take us out, because this, hey, come on now. Let them folks know, man.
Let me say something. I can say one thing. I can say
of course.
I'm going to say one thing, man. Because I feel like as black people, like what you just did was phenomenal, man. We don't celebrate each other enough, bro. That was dope. And I want to thank y'all for letting me spend some time with some dope people, man.
Y'all my dope. Brother, man.
Y'all dope.
Absolutely.
Thank you, bro. Nah, man, I've been rocking with
and
you. I've been rocking with you.
Yeah, sure.
And I want to thank you guys for having me as well, too. I am literally on a couch with legends, you know? So I think I'm the youngest person here. So I feel like...
Wait a minute now.
I'm sorry. Yes, I heard when you got drafted. I'm a
race. I'm going to have to get my race in. But give me 6 weeks.
Listen. But no, it really feels... It is an honor to be here sitting with you guys. Everybody is great. You know, first draft pick, number one motivational speaker, the biggest Lex, okay? Look, I'm trying to join the sales team at work. And you as well. You're such a great communicator.
Two-time NBA champion.
Yes. Okay, told me you played with Kobe.
Both of them did.
Yes.
And he played with Mike.
And then it's 2024. It's the Kobe year. You said what?
I happen to get traded.
Okay.
Why you do that?
But no, honestly, it's confirmation for me that I'm on the right path and I'm in alignment. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm right next to legends, you know what I'm saying? I may need to go ahead and, you know, try to see what's up with the draft. You never know. Y'all don't sleep. Don't sleep. I'm like, you know, I'm starting to think. I'm like, you know what? You know,
I like your attitude.
No, but honestly, I feel really, really honored.
Tell them where they can find you, what you got going on, where they can find you at.
You guys can find me on all platforms at Simply Tone.
Okay,
man. And Inky?
InkyJohnson.com.
Yeah. Tell them about the podcast, Inky.
Podcast out, Serendipity with Inky Johnson. And the name Serendipity is just about what I spoke to. Everybody got a journey. Everybody got a story about how they get to the places that we come to meet.
Like
season 3 for Ink, you know what I'm saying? Well, before we close this out, we want to thank one of our sponsors for this episode. It is Anchor Down Transport and Logistics. They're a company based in Atlanta. They have a company in Alaska and Hawaii. They can move a single car to whole truck loads. They work with large and smaller groups. So if you find them, look them up, Anchor Down. If you need more information on Anchor Down, DM me. Or the DM, the reality table. You can find JP, J Pizzle, Instagram.
Shout out Anchor.
Josh21 Pal, Quam Low, whatever he going by this weekend.
K-W-A-N.
Yeah, Quan. This week.
Quan. M.
And Alexia Adams 24. This is the reality table with Inky Johnson and Sadia signing out.
What you bring?
Every conversation's debates and relationships. We the topic of discussion. What's the gossip? Who she loving? This tea get hotter when you touch it. Forget about that he say and that she say. Tell me what the street say. Got them tuned in, they running back. Just like a DJ. What you bring to the table?